poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You made it to Friday night, and you've made it to the special edition of World Poetry Open Mic as we celebrate the life of Mr. Lou Reed. I'm Jay Todd. I'm your humble host. We have with us still in the studio Mr. Michael Amade.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for joining us. The Phantom is still hanging out with us.
Ahoy.
Ahoy there. We've got the Ape Boy. Thank you, brother.
No problem.
For running the board again on this special show. It means a lot to me, man.
I understand.
So, Sunday we lost what I would say one of the great living poets of this day and age, and Mr. Lou Reed.
There is so much influence from him, just some of what I would call the better music.
Exactly.
And so I mean his contribution can't be overstated on pop music and popular music.
Exactly. I got to say, not 3 months ago, I compared one of your tracks to Mr. Lou Reed's, not knowing what was coming. But
no, well, if you did, I'd be a little surprised here.
So,
but yeah, well, that was a compliment.
Yes. So we want to encourage you, if you have a poem about Lou Reed, if you want to cover one of his pieces of work, call in 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598. We'll also be doing some other stuff here tonight.
Exactly. We are going to play around a little bit. You and I don't do a lot of playing around together, but we're going to have fun. I do want to raise a toast. If you're drinking anything, coffee, if you're drinking soda.
Or if you have some toast,
hold it aloft. And we're going to just say, rest in peace, Lou. We love you. And without further ado, please welcome to the line from Michigan. He is Chris.
I didn't expect to get on so quick.
Oh, you did just fine, brother.
Anyway, what was really neat with Lou Reed, now he's from a totally different generation, and then he went beyond his own and crossed several others. He has a style that you can appreciate, and it's hard to describe it. He doesn't match his voice to the music, but the music is what gives his voice the tone, because he sang like he couldn't carry a tune.
Yeah.
It was a monotone, but the power of it was it went with the music, and that was the strength of it.
Exactly.
Now, one of the two that I've got, I want to read it somewhat like he actually does it in the song, but the first one, how do you speak to an angel? You have to remember he was one great poet.
Mm-hmm.
And he put the words together in a way that every man could appreciate. He couldn't carry a tune, but that's every man. I mean, that's the power of what he wrote, was that everybody could relate to it. So, how do you speak to an angel? A son who is cursed with a harridan mother, or a weak, simpering father at best, is raised to play out the timeless, classical motives of filial love and incest. How does he speak to the prettiest girl? How does he talk to her? What does he say for an opening line? What does he say if he's shy? What do you do with your pragmatic passions, with your classically neurotic style? How do you deal with your vague self-comprehensions? What do you do when you lie? How do you speak to the prettiest girl? How do you speak to her? How do you dance on the head of a pin when you're on the outside looking in? How do you speak to the prettiest girl? How do you speak? How do you speak to the prettiest girl? How do you speak to the prettiest girl?
Nice.
Hello. Hello, baby. Hello. That's how you talk to the prettiest girl in the whole wide world. Baby. Angel. How do you talk to the prettiest girl? You say, hello, baby. Hello, baby. Angel. Angel. Pretty little girl. Angel. Angel. That's how you talk to the prettiest girl in the whole wide world. That was his song. And it's just impressive because you got the kids today, teens, 20s, 30s, whatever, makes no difference. They all have that same issue. How the heck do you come up and talk to somebody when you're just so captivated? That was an everyman thing, and that's how you appreciate him.
I think that's been an issue since the beginning of society.
Exactly.
You know?
Right on, really, brother.
You're right. He's so good at that.
He is. He was an everyman's poet, and every poet's poet.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, the other one I wanted to bring up was another good one. And I'm going to try using his timing, but I can't do the monotone the way he did. I don't have the music behind me to draw out the force of what he's saying, but I'll try it with his timing. Sometimes I wonder, who am I? The world seeming to pass me by. A younger man, now getting old. I have to wonder what the rest of life will hold. I hold a mirror to my face. There are some lines that I could trace to memories of loving you, a passion that breaks reason in two. I have to think, and I have to think and stop me now. If reminiscences make you frown, one thinks of what one hoped to be and then faces reality. I wonder who started all this. Was God in love and gave a kiss to someone who later betrayed? And God, less love, sent us away. Sometimes I wonder who am I, who made the trees, who made the sky, who made the storms, who made heartbreak. I wonder how much love I can take. I see at last a future self. Were you alive, I'd ask your help. But thinking puts me in a daze, and thinking never helped me anyway. You always were so negative. You never saw the positive. You always stand upon the edge and dream of what it must be to be dead. I know I like to drive a lot and think of other worlds that are not. I hate that. I need air to breathe. I'd like to leave this body and be free. You'd like to float like a mystic child. You'd like to kiss an angel on the brow. You'd love to solve the mystery of life by cutting someone's throat or removing their heart. You'd like to see it beat. You'd like to hold your eyes. And though you know I'm dead, you'd like to hold my thighs. if it's wrong to think on this, to hold the dead past, to hold the dead past in your fist, why were we? Why were we given memories? Let's lose our minds, be set free. Sometimes I wonder, who am I? The world seeming to pass me by. A younger man now getting old, I have to wonder what the rest of life will hold. I wonder. I wonder who started all this. Oh, it was God in love and gave a kiss to someone who later betrayed in godless love, sent us away. To someone who later betrayed, godless love sent us away. To someone who later betrayed, godless love sent us away. A heck of a song.
Oh, yes. Heck of a song. Heck of a read, too, my friend. Wow.
That's him. That's his words, his style, his method. And by God, I miss him already.
I do, too, I got to say. Have several special connections with him, and for you to do those, I'm very impressed, my brother. Thank you.
You take care, man.
Take care.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you next week. If you want to call in like Chris, give us a call, 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598. We're doing kind of just a tribute to Lou Reed, who passed away on Sunday. I had something, if I could, very quickly, I would like to read in a moment. However, we have something first. Always appropriate.
What the... He didn't call us during the first section.
This isn't Steve.
What?
This is not the...
The Phantom Sense is something else.
Oh.
This is... this is the Emperor's theme.
I got a call from the Emperor during Chris's...
Oh, no.
Yeah. He gave me a haiku to read.
Oh, he did haiku to the haiku master.
Well,
that's awesome.
It's from the Emperor.
Naturally.
The Emperor haiku.
Naturally.
Of
so,
course.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Man of the hour, the musician's musician, all have paid tribute.
Nice. Well done,
Steve.
Emperor.
Excellent.
Matt is white. No, Steve's not the Emperor.
Steve's not the
Emperor. Steve's not the Emperor?
No.
Oh, no.
Steve
you
just talks
just,
with the Emperor.
Oh, you've just angered the Emperor.
Oh no. We've done a foul to the Emperor.
Not good.
No.
Not good at all. Well, all right. So you wanted to
do
one as well.
Do we have to run to a break right now?
No. We can run a little.
Okay. So this is something a little bit special. It's actually something I thought was really cool and appropriate. It's a short prose piece. It's by a guy named David Eagleman, and the book is called Some 40 Tales from the Afterlives, and it's a brilliant, brilliant book.
Okay.
Introduced to me by a very close friend named Megan. Incredible book. And basically he just has ideas about different concepts of the afterlife and just kind of goes with the idea to the end. So this is just one. It's called Distance.
Okay.
In the afterlife, you find yourself in a beautiful land of milk and honey. There is no poverty, starvation, or warfare. Only rolling hills and Lilliputian angels and evocative music. You discover that you are allowed to ask one question of your maker. You're led ceremoniously through the glistening arcades of the palace to the great hall, where your maker sits enthroned in lights that hurt your eyes. You cannot direct your gaze fully at him. Nonetheless, you stand bravely in front of him and ask, "Why do you live in a place like this, so far from Earth, instead of living down in the trenches with us?" He is given pause by this question. Clearly, no one has asked him this in a long time. It is hard to tell in the bright light, but it looks as though his kind eyes well up. He gazes wistfully out into the sky. "For a while, I did live on Earth," he answers. "I was never one for exuberance, but nonetheless, I had several homes in several countries. All my neighbors knew when I was there, and they would wave. I was well-liked. I could run things well from that vantage, down in the trenches, as you say, and I actively enjoyed each acre of my creation by walking on it, smelling it, feeling the soil between my fingertips, and living in it. But one day, I came to one of my homes and found that all the windows had been broken." He winces at the reminiscence. "Then that happened to a second one of my homes. I didn't know who did it or what their reasons were, but it dawned on me that the respect I once commanded was caving in. People began to cut me off in traffic. One morning I awoke to find people picketing in front of my driveway. He falls silent, misty-eyed, and contemplative. You clear your throat. So that's when you came up here? I came here for the same reason doctors wear uniforms of long white coats, he answers. They don't do it for their benefit, but for yours.
Wow.
And that's just one of 40 amazing pieces from some 40 Tales from the Afterlives by David Eagleman. I strongly, strongly recommend this book. It's beautiful.
I'm glad you shared that during this portion. That's awesome. Thank you, Michael. All right, we do have another caller from Texas. Please welcome back to the show, Jack.
I'm back. Did you miss me?
Oh, we did miss you, brother.
I'm telling you, it's been a long time.
Awesome. Yeah, what?
Forever.
30 minutes.
Like forever. Hey, well, great idea on this show. I just want to say that. That's a great idea. I was excited when I got your message the other day. I thought that was pretty cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
Somebody needed to do something.
Right.
So once I got that message from you, I sat down and decided I was going to write one for tonight. And this is it. This one's titled, And the Colored Girls Sing. Sugar Plum Fairy came and hit the streets, dragging the soul of a contender who painted crooked lines and dotted futures, spinning lies on the edges of gossamer wings, then licking her lips black as night-patterned velvet while tracing underground sidewalks and glittered graffiti and menued offerings, looking for soul food and a place to eat, digging in the pockets of her intended victims, tossing lint to the curb in puddles of drool, singing in a voice louder than her grumbling stomach, now exposed to the harsh winter of tomorrow as foot soldier scarves and drab green wrap her twisting ankles from the cold. Went to the Apollo, standing in a long line for a ticket to this sold-out show, basking in the marquee lights, collecting auditions from drifters and finding her melody in a passing taxi, yellow as her checkered present, ignoring her cries to be ridden. You should have seen him go, go, go. Exhaust fumes mixed with knockoff Chanel No. 5 and scraping stiletto heels sparking on the emotions of an ill-fitting T-shirt with Lou Reed's face stretched to the limits of her darkly carved wild side. She falls in line, fourth from the right, as metronome earrings sway in rhythm and the colored girls sing.
Nice, brother. That was good, man.
Like that?
Yes, and Lou would be very proud of that piece. That was very well done.
Well, that's a compliment. Thanks.
I can't speak for him, but, you know, you can only imagine. That was great.
Thanks.
Oh, Jack. Knocking it home, brother.
Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thank you very
much.
Have
fun.
We'll see you. We'll hear from you next week.
Next week.
Right on. Thank you. If you want to call in like Jack, give us a call, 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598.
We are being told that we do have to take a break. You're listening to World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio, and we are on KZKO The Vibe, a progressive broadcast for your modern life.
Get great protection for your wireless devices. Go to mytechdefense.com. They will protect, repair, and personalize your smartphones, tablets, laptops, and more. You can choose any design you want, and they will transfer your phone or tablet to reflect that favorite of yours. Contact them at mytechdefense.com or click on the link on kzkoradio.com. Get protected. Tech Defense, protecting MSC every day. At the Beach Tanning Salon, 31 locations in the Denver metro area. Go to kzkoradio.com to enter to win a $30 gift card to At the Beach, atbtanning.com.
Holly came from Miami, FLA, hitchhiked away across USA.
Again, our half squatch is on
plucked
point.
Her eyebrows on the way, shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She says, hey, babe, take a walk on the wild side. Said, hey, honey.
Right on, brother. On point tonight, my friend.
Isn't it? So I just had this kind of crazy thought, and, you know, what better place to air a crazy thought than on a poetry show on the radio?
Exactly.
So in the middle of this vast universe, there is a planet that just happens to have this crazy little life form on it that likes to do all kinds of things, including trying to go to other planets, which is pretty awesome. Let's face it.
That is pretty cool.
But that there's an art form that was developed of expression with language. And that, you know, someone like Lou Reed or someone like Charles Dickens or like someone like Edgar Allan Poe could exist on this tiny little outpost in the middle of this vast, vast universe is pretty incredible.
Very incredible.
And the fact that any of us and any of our listeners exist and your personalities and your artistic ability and everything you do is just as incredible. And it just occurred to me, so I figured I'd share that.
That was great, brother. Speaking of incredible people, we've got another caller calling from Michigan. Please welcome Dennis.
The most incredible man in Michigan.
Better not say that. Chris will be unhappy.
The rest of Michigan is after me.
Well, I'd like to thank you for having this tribute to Lou Reed. He was vastly underrated for all his ingenious lyrics and songs. And I want to say is rest in peace, Lou Reed.
Thank you. You
will be missed.
He will.
I'd like to read one of his songs. The title of it is Call on Me.
All right.
Caught in the crossbow of ideas and journeys, sit here reliving life's other self's mornings. Caught in the crossbow of ideas and dawnings, I stand. Reliving the past of the maddening impulse. Violent upheaval, the pure driven instinct, the pure driven murder, the attraction of daring, I stand. Why didn't you call on me? Why didn't you call on me? Why didn't you call on me? Why didn't you call? A wild being from birth, my spirit spurns control. One wandering the wide earth, searching for my soul, dimly peering, I would surely find what could there no more be purely bright. In truth's day star, why didn't you call on me? Why didn't you call on me? Why didn't you call on me? Why didn't you call? Why didn't you call on me? Why didn't you call on me? Why didn't you call on me? Why didn't you call?
Nice, brother.
Wow. Dennis, thank you, man.
Yeah, so I'm glad I could be part of this tribute, and I'd like to know we have a lot of respect for this artist. And he won't be soon forgotten.
No, he won't be soon forgotten. He'll always be a part of my life. And all the younger poets that I educate, I'm actually going to assign the younger poets to listen to some Velvet Underground and some Lou Reed and see where poetry should be going. So.
And we appreciate that, J-Tan. And I'll get off the line and let somebody else pay their tributes to. Thanks again, and God bless.
Thank you, Dennis. If you want to call in like Dennis, give us a call, 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598, and this is our tribute to Lou Reed.
Exactly. I'm going to do one real quick. I've got to say, as a younger poet, before I knew what I was going to do with poetry or anything like that, I had a musical mentor. He'd sit me down, and he'd be like, check this out. And one of the ones that stuck, the guy's name was Michael Phillips. One of the ones that stuck was a song called Black Angel's Death Song. And I always think of him when I think of the song when I think of Lou Reed. It's from the Velvet Underground. And I'm going to go ahead and read it in poetic styling. The myriad of choices of his fate set themselves upon a plate for him to choose. What had he to lose? Not a ghost, bloodied country, all covered with sleep, where the black angel did weep, not an old city street in the east gone to choose. And Wandering's brother walked on through the night with his hair in his face on a long splintered cut from a knife of GT, the rally man's patter on through the dawn until we said so long to his skull shrill yell. Shining brightly, red-rimmed and red-lined within the time, infused with the choice of mind on ice skates, scraping chunks from bells, cut mouth, bleeding razors, forgetting the pain, antiseptic remains, cool goodbye, so you fly to the cozy brown snow of the east, gone to choose, choose again. Sacrificial's remains make it through hard to forget where you come from. The stools of your eyes serve to realize fame, choose again. A robber man's refrain of sacrilege recluse for the loss of a horse went the bowels of the tail of a rat and the tail of a rat. Come again, choose to go. And if Epiphany's terror reduce you to shame, have your head bobbed and weaved, choose a side to be on. If the stone glances off, split didactics in two, leave the colors of the mouse, don't scream, try between. If you choose, try to lose. For the loss of remain, come and start, start the game. I chi chi, chi chi I, chi chi chi, kata ko, choose to lose, choose to choose, choose to go. And wow. that is the Black Angel's Desolate.
That was amazing.
Thank you. I know Lou Reed has touched a lot of people out there, especially me. I've had a lot of run-ins with different people that kept showing me Lou Reed, and I'm like, you know, I think he's amazing, and I wanted to style some of my poetics after him. I hope that I've done him proud. So
you absolutely have, man. And Lou Reed was, I mean, the thing that was really cool is looking at, he really introduced this this element of being cool, quote, to music. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he really kept reinventing himself.
Yeah, over and over and over.
Where do you think David Bowie learned the trick?
Exactly. No, David Bowie, actually, I remember reading a review of this one musician named Gavin Friday saying that he's kind of like David Bowie if David Bowie was maybe near as cool as Lou Reed.
I don't think anybody can be as cool as Lou Reed. Yeah. I mean, he's like the James Dean of the music set from
definitely,
the 60s.
Definitely. But then again, he didn't rely on something so placing and ridiculous as good looks.
Exactly. Good looks only take you so far.
If even that far.
Yeah, quality of character is what carry you.
Hell yeah, man. We're not going to remember how good-looking Lou Reed was. We are going to remember his music and his influence.
And his words. So, all right, we are going to be taking a break. You're listening to MSE, excuse me, you're listening to KZK on the Vibe.
For the other station.
For Your Modern Life. And we are World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Body Armor Super Drink. 2 times electrolytes of leading sports drinks, as much potassium as a banana, vitamins A, C, and E. A great new way to drink super. DrinkBodyArmor.com. Denver Autos, located at 6570 North Federal Boulevard and 5400 North Federal Boulevard in Denver. Contact Gonzalo for all your auto needs. 303-430-1333 or 303-573-1333. You can also look at their website, denverautostore.com.
Just a perfect day. Drink sangria in the park. And then later, when it gets dark, we go home.
Nice. Smooth as freshly whipped butter, my friend.
Wow.
You know, whenever I think of smooth, I think of finely whipped butter.
And me, apparently.
Smooth as a bottle. And
I think finely whipped butter. And, oh yes, the haiku master.
Smooth as a bottle of KY with lanolin. Anyway,
what?
Whoa. I'm just kidding.
Hey, you know, speaking of that, Do you remember the movie Mary Shelley's Frankenstein with Kenneth Branagh and Robert De Niro?
Yeah.
Yes.
The scene where he's chucked out of the sarcophagus and he's born as the creature. Do you realize that they actually, the amniotic fluid there was KY jelly, and they ordered a ton, a ton of KY jelly.
That must have been tough for De Niro.
Can you imagine I think they probably got to know each other pretty well. But do you think they...
that way.
Can you imagine the day they put the order in for a ton of KY jelly?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. All right, so Lou Reed. Welcome back to our Lou Reed show. And we do comedy, too.
When there's wine involved.
Yeah, exactly. So... this is one that I've covered live several times. I don't know if I've done this on the show or not. It's a little bit of a lengthy piece. Actually, this, I got to say, is the first exposure to spoken word art mixed with music that I've had. Mm. And so when I started doing live open mics, I figured I'd do this one. This is by the Velvet Underground also. This is entitled The Gift. And Phantom, you've not heard this one at any of my live open mics, so I'll do it again for you. Waldo Jeffers had reached his limit. It was now mid-August, which meant he had been separated from Marcia for more than 2 months. 2 months, and all he had to show was 3 dog-eared letters and 2 very expensive long-distance phone calls. True, when school had ended, she had returned to Wisconsin, and he to Locust, Pennsylvania. She had sworn to maintain a certain fidelity. She would date occasionally, but merely as amusement. She would remain faithful. But lately, Waldo had begun to worry. He had trouble sleeping at night, and when he did, he had horrible dreams. He lay awake at night, tossing and turning underneath his pleated quilt protector, tears welling in his eyes as he pictured Marcia, her sworn vows overcome by liquor and the smooth soothing of some Neanderthal. Finally, submitting to final caresses of sexual oblivion, it was more than a human mind could bear. Visions of Marcia's faithlessness haunted him. Daytime fantasies of sexual abandon permeated his thoughts, and the thing was, they wouldn't understand how she really was. He, Waldo, alone understood this. He had intuitively grasped every nook and cranny of her psyche. He had made her smile. She needed him, and he wasn't there. Ah. The idea came to him on a Thursday before the Mummers Parade was scheduled to appear. He had just finished mowing and edging the Edelson's lawn for $1.50, and had checked the mailbox to see if there was at least a word from Marcia. There was nothing but a circular from the Amalgamated Aluminum Company of America inquiring to his awning needs. At least they cared enough to write. It was New York. It was a New York company. You could go anywhere in the mails. Then it struck him. He didn't have enough money to go to Wisconsin in the accepted fashion, true, but why not mail himself? It was absurdly simple. He would ship himself parcel post, special delivery. The next day, Waldo went to the supermarket to purchase the necessary equipment. He bought masking tape, a staple gun, and a medium-sized cardboard box just right for a person of his build. He judged that with the minimum amount of jostling, he could ride quite comfortably. A few air holes, put some water, perhaps some midnight snacks, and it would probably be as good as going tourist. By Friday afternoon, Waldo was set. He was thoroughly packed, and the post office had agreed to pick him up at 3:00. He'd marked the package fragile, and as he sat curled up inside, resting on the foam rubber cushioning he thoughtfully included, he tried to picture the look of awe and happiness on Marcia's face as she opened the door, saw the package, tipped the deliverer, and then opened it to see her Waldo finally there in person. She would kiss him, and then maybe they could go see a movie. If he'd only thought of this before. Suddenly, rough hands gripped his package, and he felt himself borne up. He landed with a thud in a truck and was off. Marcia Bronson had just finished setting her hair. It had been a very rough weekend. She had to remember not to drink like that. Bill had been nice about it, though. After it was over, he said he still respected her, and after all, it was certainly the way of nature, and even though no, he didn't love her, he did feel an affection for her. And after all, they were grown adults. Oh, what Bill could teach Waldo. But that seemed many years ago. Sheila Klein, her very, very best friend, walked in through the porch screen door into the kitchen. Oh, God, it's absolutely maudlin outside. Ack, I know what you mean. I feel all icky. Marcia tightened her belt on her cotton robe with silk outer edge. Sheila ran her fingers over some salt grains on the kitchen table. Licked her finger, made a face. I'm supposed to be taking these salt pills, but... She wrinkled her nose. They make me feel like throwing up. Marcia started to pat herself under her chin, an exercise she'd seen on television. God, don't even talk about that. She got up from the table and went to the sink where she picked up a bottle of pink and blue vitamins. Want one? They're supposed to be better than steak. And then attempted to touch her knees. I don't think I'll ever touch a daiquiri again. She gave up and sat down, this time near the small table that supported the telephone. Maybe Bill will call, she said to Sheila. Sheila nibbled on a cuticle. After last night, I thought you'd be through with him. I know what you mean. My God, he was like an octopus, hands all over the place. She gestured, raising her arms upward in defense. The thing is, after a while, you get tired of fighting with him. You know, and after all, I didn't really do anything Friday or Saturday, so I kind of owed it to him. You know what I mean? She started to scratch. Sheila giggling under, with her hand over her mouth. I'll tell you, I felt the same way. And even after a while here, she bent forward in a whisper, I wanted to. Now she was laughing very loudly. It was this point that Mr. Jameson of the Clarence Darrow Post Office rang the doorbell of a large stucco-colored frame house. When Marcia Bronson opened the door, he helped her carry the package in. He had his yellow and his green slips of paper signed and left with a 15-cent tip that Marcia had gotten out of her mother's small beige pocketbook in the den. What do you think it is? Sheila asked. Marcia stood with her arms folded behind her back. She stared at the brown cardboard cotton that sat in the middle of the living room. I don't know. Inside the package, Waldo quivered with excitement. As he listened to the muffled voices, Sheila ran her finger over the masking tape and ran down the center of the cardboard. Why don't you look at the return address and see who it's from? Waldo felt his heart beating. He could feel the vibrating footsteps. It would be soon. Marcia walked around the carton and read the ink-scratched label. Oh, God! It's from Waldo. That schmuck! Said Sheila. Waldo trembled with expectation. Well, you might as well open it, said Sheila. Both of them tried to lift the flap. Ah! Said Marcia, groaning. He must have nailed it shut. They tugged on the flap again. My God, you need a power drill to get this thing open. They pulled again. You can't get a grip. They both stood still, breathing heavily. Why don't you get a scissor? Said Sheila. Marcia ran into the kitchen, but all she could find was a little sewing scissor. Then she remembered that her father kept a collection of tools in the basement. She ran down the stairs, and when she came back up, she had a large sheet metal cutter. This is the best I could find. She was out of breath. Here, you do it. I'm gonna die. She sank in the large fluffy couch and exhaled noisily. Sheila tried to make a small slit between the masking tape and the end of the cardboard flap, but the blade was too big, and there wasn't enough room. God damn this thing, she said, feeling very exasperated. Then smiling, I got an idea. What, said Marcia. Just watch, said Sheila, touching her finger to her head. Inside the package, Waldo was so transfixed with excitement he could barely breathe. His skin felt prickly from the heat as he could feel his heart beating in his throat. It would be soon. Sheila stood quite upright and walked around the other side of the package. She sank down to her knees, grasped the cutter by both handles, and took a deep breath and plunged the long blade through the middle of the package, through the masking tape, through the cardboard, through the cushioning, and thud, right into the center of Waldo Jeffers' head, which split slightly and caused rhythmic arcs of red to pulsate gently in the morning sun. Right?
Wow. Man.
That was my first exposure to spoken word art.
Can we keep doing Lou Reed stuff?
Right.
You know, maybe not next week, but let's start, if we can, let's start doing some more of these tributes. Maybe.
No,
actually,
let's not do tributes. That means people are dying.
No, we can do tributes to people who are living. It doesn't matter. That's fine. I actually think an idea that might be kind of cool is every now and then doing a tribute to a specific really influential poet or musician or songwriter.
Maybe,
and doing it like this, that would be so cool.
That would be cool.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
All
so
right.
We'll log that into our idea bank.
All right. We got enough of those.
All right.
So.
Are you going to share? You don't have one, Phantom?
Phantom doesn't have one for
okay.
us. What would you like to do, sir?
We don't have any more callers? We're it's absolutely okay. open. Okay,
but
so,
they can call, and what did they call?
They call 303-386-3598.
That's 303-386-3598.
All right, so we're going to get set up here. We're going to do one more, Lou Reed. When I heard of his passing, I actually called Mike, and I said, do you think we could do this as a tribute to Lou Reed? I used to hang out with another poet who has passed many years ago, back in 97. We used to drive around town in this Ford Econoline van, and he would play this particular piece over and over again. And I liked the piece a lot. So my connection to Lou Reed with this one is it reminds me of a really dear friend that has passed. So in honor of both the men, Robert Moreland and Lou Reed, I'd like to do this. This is Harry's Circumcision. Looking in the mirror, Harry didn't like what he saw. The cheeks of his mother, the eyes of his father, as each day crashed around him, the future stood revealed. He was turning into his parents. A final disappointment. Stepping out of the shower, Harry stared at himself. His hairline receding, the slight overbite. He picked up a razor to begin his shaving and thought, oh, I wish I was different. I wish I was stronger. I wish I was thinner. I wish I didn't have this nose. These ears that stick out remind me of my father, and I don't want to be reminded at all. The final disappointment. Harry looked into the mirror, thinking of Vincent van Gogh, and with a quick swipe lopped off his nose. And happy with that, he made a slice where his chin was. He always wanted a dimple. The end of all illusion. Then, peering down straight between his legs, Harry thought of the range of possibilities. A new face. A new life. No memories of the past. And slit his throat from ear to ear. Harry woke up with a cough. The stitches made him wince. The doctor smiled at him from somewhere across the room. Son, we saved your life, but you'll never look the same. And when he heard that, Harry had to laugh. Although it hurt, Harry had to laugh. The final disappointment. Holy moly, well played, my friend. Well done.
Well done, man.
It was bravo, guys. That was really good. It was really good. I liked it.
Well, that's an intense piece, my friend.
There's a lot of intense pieces from Lou Reed, isn't there?
Yeah. We're going to take a small break. We're going to come back and wrap things up. You're listening to KZKO, The Vibe, a progressive broadcast for your modern life. And we are World Poetry Open Mic, paying tribute to Lou Reed on the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
Pocket Coupon Directory. Savings on food, fine dining, home, personal needs, and much more.
dailypocketdeals.com.
Introducing the all-new Slim Ambition 8-Week Total Body Transformation Program. Finally, an answer to losing that fat.
My name is Tammy, and I want to tell you about my total body transformation. Back in January, I started a series of treatments at Slim Ambition, and here I am 7 months later, 47 pounds lighter, 5 inches smaller around the waist, and 60 points lower in cholesterol. When I first walked into Slim Ambition, I was a little skeptical, but I was proven wrong. Mark and his team are great to work with. The staff is super friendly and so helpful. I knew the program was working when I got to go shopping for a whole new wardrobe twice. What I like best about Slim Ambition is that not only did it transform my body, it transformed my confidence, my health, and my life.
Sign up now for the 8-week body transformation. Get the tools you need to finally succeed. 24 treatments, meal plan, unlimited access to cardio equipment. More importantly, support and accountability to help you reach your ultimate goals. Call today to book your free consultation, 566-7307.
My Mom's Pies, located in Niwot on 201 Murray Street. Give them a call at 303-652-6667 or check out their website, mmpies.com.
Standing on the corner, suitcase in my hand. Jackson's corset, Jane is in her vest. And me, I'm in a rock and roll band.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Sweet Jane. Oh, yeah.
I'm really happy to be here right now.
I'm happy to be here, too, man. I'm sorry that we're paying tribute to somebody that was so influential in my life, but I'm happy to be here with family and friends that share that influence.
Absolutely.
And all the people that called in and shared pieces, thank you guys very much. I'm glad to know he's touched more life than just mine.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you're gonna do one for us?
Yeah, but first of all, I'd like to say thank you to everybody who's been a part of this and everything's been a part of the show. You know, both the World Poetry Open Mic show normally, and then this tribute here. I want to say thank you to the House Squatch, the Haiku Master, for everything, man. Thank you so much. To the Phantom, you are phenomenal. Thank you so much. To you, sir. Thank you, Jay Todd.
I'm blessed to be around all you guys. Thank you.
Man, this is such a great time. I really enjoy this.
Yeah.
So, to close, this is a Lou Reed song. It's a pretty popular one, but this is kind of a last-minute arrangement for it.
Okay.
Okay. Bear with me. Satellite's gone up to the sky. Things like that drive me out of my mind. I watched it for a little while. Love to watch things on TV. Oh, satellite of love. Oh, satellite of love. Ooh, satellite of love. Satellite. The satellite's gone way up to Mars. Filled with parking cars. At least to watch it for a little while. I love to watch things on TV. TV. Oh, satellite of love. Satellite of love, satellite.
Goodbye, Lou. We love you.
Once upon a midnight dreary, as I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, tapping at my chamber door, "only this and nothing more." Muttering, I got up weakly, always I've had trouble sleeping. Stumbling upright, my mind racing, furtive thoughts flowing once more, I there hoping for some sunrise, happiness would be a surprise. Loneliness, no longer a prize. Rapping at my chamber door, seeking out the clever boar, lost in dreams forevermore, only this and nothing more. Hovering, my pulse was racing, stale tobacco, my lips tasting, scotch sitting upon my basin, remnants of the night before, came again. Infernal tapping on the door and in my mind jabbing. Is it in or outside rapping, calling out to me once more the fit and fury of Lenore, nameless here forevermore? And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of the purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before. So that now, oh wind, stop breathing, hoping yet to calm my breathing. 'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. Some lost visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. This is it and nothing more. Deep into the darkness peering, long I stood there, wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming fantasies no mortal dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered name, Lenore. This I thought, and out loud whispered from my lips, the foul name festered, echoing itself, merely this and nothing more. Back into my chamber, turning, every nerve within me burning, when once again I heard a tapping, somewhat louder than before. Surely, said I, surely that is something at my iron staircase. Open the door to see what thread is. Open the window, free the shutters, let us this mystery explore. Oh, bursting heart, be still this once! And let this mystery explore. It is the wind and nothing more. Just one epithet I muttered, as inside I gagged and shuddered, when with manly flirt and flutter in there flew a stately raven. Sleek and ravenous as any foe, not the least obeisance made he, not a minute's gesture toward me of recognition or politeness, but perched above my chamber door. This foul and salivating visage, insinuating with its knowledge, perched above my chamber door, silent sat and staring. Nothing more. Askance, askew, the self-said fancy smiles at you, I swear, at this savage, vicious countenance it wears. Though you show here, shorn and shaven, and I admit myself forlorn and craven, ghastly, grim, an ancient raven wandering from the opiate shores, tell me what thy lordly name is, that you are not nightmare sewage, some dire powder drink or inhalation framed from flames of downtown lore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven, sitting lonely, staring sickly at my male sex only, that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Pathetic! Nothing farther than he uttered, not a feather that he fluttered, till finally was I that muttered as I stared dully at the floor. Other friends have flown and left me, flown as each and every hope has flown before, as you no doubt will for the morrow, but the bird said, never more. Then I felt the air grow denser, perfumed from some unseen incense, as though accepting angelic intrusion, when in fact I felt collusion before the guise of false memory's respite. Respite through the haze of cocaine's glory, I smoke and smoke the blue vial's glory to forget at once the base Lenore, quoth the raven, nevermore. Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bend above us, by that God we both ignore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, willful and destructive intent, how had lapsed a pure heart lady to the greediest of needs. sweaty, arrogant, dickless liar, who ascribed to nothing higher than a jab from prick to needle, straight to betrayal and disgrace, the conscience showing not a trace, quoth the raven, nevermore. Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I yelled upstarting, get thee back into the tempest, into the smoke-filled bottle shore. Leave no black plume as a token of the slime thy soul has spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken, quit as those have quit before. Take the talon from my heart and see that I can care no more. Whatever mattered came before, I vanished with the dead Lenore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. But the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, silent, sitting above a painting, silent painting of the forever silenced whore, and his eyes have all the seeming of a demon that is dreaming, and the lamplight over him streaming throws his shadow to the floor. I love she who hates me more. I love she who hates me more. And my soul shall not be lifted from that shadow, nevermore.